We're honored to have Fred with us today. Again, this church spares no expense. We sent all the way to Dearborn to get this guy to come in here. But really, we're honored to have Fred speak today. Fred is really has a gift, and it's coming on even better every time he teaches. That's a gift that he has, that he never knew he had, right?
Don't know if I still have it, Bob, but...
Well, it's too late now. Amen. All right, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Fred. Who would you like to open you up? Would you bring your own bodyguard, the big guy over there?
That's my nephew, Buddy.
Okay, okay. Hey. That's right. Gee, I never seen a guy. What kind of a message are you bringing that you have to bring a bodyguard? Huh? Well, it's good to have you with us today, and I see some of... is that your family?
Yes, my sister.
Fred's sister, hi. What's your name, young lady? Evelyn and...
And my long-lost daughter, Catherine.
I am Catherine. Okay. And Jackie, did you say?
Jackie.
Okay, well, it's good to have you guys with us today. You're going to be really blessed to hear Fred speak. Amen. I've never had an opportunity to hear him before, have you? Well, good. Good. Amen. All right, we're going to start. Fred, who would you like to...
I'll have my wife.
Your wife? Yes.
She's sorry he set me up this
morning. I think that's an excellent choice, brother.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. I thank you, Father God, that you allow us to serve you and that you just, you're the one that wakes us up every morning, Father God, and gives us our first breath, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the great work that you've begun in this church and this family, Father God, within my husband. I thank you so much, Lord. I ask you to bless him, bless every word that comes out of his mouth, that it be totally and directly from you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. All yours, Fred.
Thank you. Title of this message is Using What God Has Given You, Both in the Spiritual and in the Physical. Now I'm going to try to do something here. I'm actually going to try to go through Acts 16. So bear with me because it's going to be a lot of scripture reading. You should enjoy some scripture reading, right? With no further ado, I'm going to have my wife read Acts 16, 1 through 5.
He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish, and believed, but whose father was a Greek. The brother at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jewish who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions and reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the church were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers.
Thank you, babe. Now, the first thing that stood out to me in this passage was the brother spoke well of him. And this is a question we need to ask ourselves. Do our Christian brothers and sisters speak well of us? You know, if somebody come to the church and needed help, would you be chosen? Would they, you know, get Esther because she's a good worker or strong believer in the Lord? I mean, we shouldn't talk ill will of our brothers and sisters, but in the same way, we should be ready to answer the call. I mean, are we approachable? You know, can we take criticism, maybe, from a brother or sister that, you know, it's all about you got to do everything in love, you know, but can we receive? You know, Jesus says, humble yourself to one another. So are we humble enough? You know, are they scared to say something to you because you got a reputation of going off on somebody? You know, do they say, you can't say that to her because she'll go off on you. You can't say that to him, he'll go off on you. We should not have that reputation. You know, I used to have that reputation years ago, but since I'm in the Lord now. You try to put that in the past, but I think I'm doing good in that part, you know, in that area. So, I mean, yes, I don't want to take too long on each one. I got a lot to do, but the other thing that struck out to me is Timothy was circumcised. You know, that wasn't a requirement to be a Christian or a believer. You know, Paul talks extensively on this area that it's not a requirement. So the question is, why did Paul want Timothy to do this? You know, the Jews looked at, you know, because his father was Greek, they looked at Timothy as more of a half-breed, you know, Samaritan, if you would. They didn't care for the Samaritan. So to have him circumcised was to, to take out any roadblocks, any hindrance from spreading the word of God. And for a grown man to get circumcised is is a pretty big deal on his part anyways. I mean, you know, I don't want to go too far into it, but, you know, he must be strong in faith. He must be, Kent says, you got to have it in your head and put it in your heart. Once you decide to do something, you know, we have to decide, you know, that we want to minister for Christ. We have to decide that we're going to follow him with all our heart. You know, and so I look at this and I'm saying, Timothy definitely wanted to do God's will. You know, and with all the Jews he was going to encounter, you know, he was going to have, you know, he had to come to them as one of them. You know, that would have been, if you can't get your foot in the door, how are you going to preach the word of God? So, and so I wrote down here, we must go beyond the bare minimum. I mean, as Christians, you know, we like, Pastor Don always says, we like to skate the edge, you know. But as Christians, we must go beyond the bare minimum that is required. In Timothy's case, I think he passed that test. You know, he. It's when we first start out. I mean, it's a good place to be. You know, maybe, but. As we move forward in the Lord, we got to get off the border, move inland. I think of, what comes to my mind, I think of the beaches of Normandy. You know, it took the beaches, but they could not stay there because the enemy could push you right back in the ocean. You know, you had to move inland. You had to take ground. You know, in our lives, we got to take that ground away from the enemy that he has in our lives. And doing so, we can impact others' lives. So that's what I got there. I got to move along. But Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Persia and the region of Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit for preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the brother in Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed through Mysia and went towards Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen this vision, we got ready at once and left for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. We always want to hear from the Spirit, you know, for his guidance. You know, what do you want me to do? But as just as important, we got to hear what the Spirit does not want us to do. You know, sometimes in my cases, keep your mouth shut in certain areas. You know, sometimes we ain't called to say what comes to our mind. You know? Thank you. Actually, me and my wife have been praying in the morning. And the prayer that's been coming to my mind is, tell me when to speak and when not to speak. Tell me when to go and when not to go. You know, so I think just as important as the Spirit leading you is the Spirit stopping you. You know, because if we're just going, you know, and, you know, and we don't have the Spirit, like in Paul's case, he started off as a second ministry. Must have been his plan to go into Asia, his plan. You know, God has different plans for us sometimes. So if we don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke through them, you know, maybe he put it on all their hearts, you know, maybe put it on Paul, maybe put it on Silas. Silas was a prophet. So, but we just don't know, but we know that they were obedient to listen.
Yeah, it's so important what you were saying about knowing when not to move. The other day I was in a restaurant, and when I went in, the people I was meeting with, we were having breakfast, and I was talking with them, they're from the church and what have you. I mean, there was just a real good flow of the Spirit there. People even around us were listening to our conversation. And the waitress came over, and very happy, and was talking with her, and began to draw her into the conversation. And then I asked her this one question. It was, do you attend a church somewhere? Because they were talking about this guy that owned a restaurant, and he had been on one of these cable shows, you know, where the restaurant is supposed to be haunted. Where's Taylor? What's the name of that place in Taylor you sing it all the time? In Trenton, I'm sorry, not Taylor. The what? Yeah, that was on TV. I guess it was a haunted restaurant. But anyways, the guy that owned this other little restaurant TV place over on 4th Street. So this waitress, when I asked her that, she just froze and she says, well, I don't discuss that with anybody. You know, and it was right there. It was like, okay, you know, I mean, I could have kept pushing the envelope, but it was like, okay, back off. You know, this is an area. But how many people do we know that would just continue to push and, you know, want to give her something or do this or do that? And so, yeah, a lot of times. And then what happened, you could see she put her defenses down, ended up coming back. You know, we were able to talk to her a little bit. So, yeah, you got to be very careful, too, that people just want to cram things down people's throats, and sometimes you got to be able to back off. And like Paul and his companions here, they were directed in a whole different direction that they thought they were going to go into Asia, and then God put up the roadblock and took them a whole different way. So we got to be flexible when the Spirit of God leads us, because we may have a plan, but sometimes he changes that plan, moves things around.
From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Sumatra, and the next day went to Naples. From there, we went to Philippi, a Roman colony, a leading city in the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gates to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women that gathered there. One of those women were from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in perfect cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. She persuaded us. Now I like how she persuaded them. You know, she put it, you know, if you consider me a servant of the Lord. I mean, Paul just had led her into, you know, had just baptized her and her whole household, so her and her family, I would think. You know, so he left it up to the Spirit, you know, to decide if he should stay at his household. I mean, She was a businesswoman, so she had a nice house. I mean, it was so, but I'm just saying, she opened her house, you know, to godly men, you know. I mean, they was there to spread God's word. You know, I mean, we as Christians, we can't just open our house to anybody. You know, I mean, you'll come home and all your stuff will be gone. I mean, you know, I mean, we are living in, you know, in the, we live in the world. We are not of the world, but we still live in the world. You know, we cannot. What did Jesus say? Be wise as serpents and gentle as lambs. You know, I mean, so we can't take that out of context, the scripture. You know, we got to see who she led in her home. She led godly men. You know, they just, you know, she just was invited into God's house, you know, by accepting Jesus Christ, you know, everlasting life. You know, but this little history, Lydia was the first convert to Christianity in Europe. You know, this is the first time that Paul has stepped foot in Europe. You know, Philippi was the first church established, and it all started with Lydia, you know, her and her household, you know, so, and, you know, it grew from there, you know. I mean, I'll go on to some other members of the church, but I wrote, God opened her heart to respond to Paul's message.
Just for the Lord to take that time to show his love for you is, all right, I'm back. All right. But just for the Lord to take that time and to show his love for you, you know, because he loves us. And, I mean, I'm all off my notes now. But it says, sound familiar. It's awesome if you think about it. God that has created the universe took time for us. Not because he needs us, it's because he loves us. He loves us, you know, because, I mean, for no reason I could think of. I ain't never done nothing to please him in any way. You know, he loves us because we're his children. You know, I mean, it's not what my children do for me. You know, because I don't love them for what they do for me. I love them because they're my kids. Even though they can drive me nuts sometimes. And I'm sure that I drive the Lord nuts, you know, when I do foolish things that I know better not to do. When I let my anger get a hold of me. When I see people that I didn't like before and I still don't like them, you know. You know, I'm required to. I mean, I'll probably have to be fighting with this to the day I die, but to love your enemies. I mean, shoot, I ain't even near that. I ain't even near that yet. But, yeah. Dang, why do I always... Yeah, it's dusty in here, man. I blame it on my sisters and my family. I could have went through this without... Well, hey, don't put the whole box up there, man. All right, I'm sorry. But, hey, it's the Lord. It's the Spirit. But, it's hot in here, too. All right. Where am I at? So how do we show our love to God? How do we show our love to the Lord? I wrote down here by being obedient to Christ. As is the way we show our love to Him. I mean, are we going to fall short? Yeah, but
If God is the good Father, I know He is. I just think how, you know, how I would think, I guess, being a father. And it, you just want your kid to do the best they can. You know, you don't want, you know, nobody's perfect. You know when they're not doing, you know, the best they can. Just doing whatever, you know, they feel like doing. So that's the way I look at God. He just wants me to do the best I can. You know, and what the thing with God, you can't say you're doing the best I can when you're really not, you know, because He knows your heart. He knows everything. You know, that's why it's so easy for me to talk to the Lord, because He already knows my thoughts. He already knows my struggles. And, He loves me anyways. You know, so it's so easy to talk to Him. Not that we're going to go through life not trying, you know, because the Lord ain't going to go for that. You know, I mean, you can just read Scripture, and it's full of people that have fallen. I look at David. I hate to bring him up. I hate to bring him up, Raj. But God, after all his faults, God still calls him a man after His own heart, because he was so quick to repent, so quick to ask God for help. You know, and that's all we have to do. You know, but we got to have the mindset that we're going to do this. We're going to try to do our best. And of course, it's not us. You know, we got to have a mindset, but we got to ask the Spirit to lead us in this area. You know?
When you were just talking about doing your best, it just kind of, in honor of Super Bowl Sunday, it just brought this to my head.
Oh, man.
That, you know, if you look at like a football game or a quarterback, and if the opposing defense gets in his head and he makes a mistake, or throws an interception, or just a dumb play when they had an opportunity, he could let that get into his head, and he could let that affect the outcome of the entire game. Or he can know that on the next drive I have another opportunity. And sometimes we look at it like we make a mistake, and then we let that affect our future too. We hang on that past mistake, and it affects us from doing our best in the future. And I just thought, you know, it just reminds you of a really good quarterback. He's, you know, go, you know what, I can't change that, but I still have an opportunity on this next drive. So this next drive, I'm going to remember that mistake, but I'm going to move forward and not let that affect me.
I don't think I'm going to get through this. All right, this is always a good scripture. But once when we were going to the place of prayer, so we're going back to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave girl who had a spirit by which she can predict the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul got annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. See, even Paul gets annoyed. I'm a good company, Pastor. So we can ask why was Paul annoyed? I mean, she was telling the truth. You know, these guys are servants of the Most High, and they're telling people how to get saved. What's the problem? You know, the problem is that this was a demon, an evil spirit. You know, and he's trying to. You know, the devil can't create nothing. He just got to take what God gets. God created and pervert it. That's all he can do. That's why he loves to get us so bad, because we're God's best creation. You know, and so I wrote down, why did Paul get so annoyed with the Spirit? Because Paul was not going to let Satan have any part of the gospel. If anyone is going to announce the gospel, it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, I mean, for her to keep on, what's to tell that people won't come to her, since she knows all this? You know, that Spirit's going to lead them astray with false doctrine or whatever. you know. So, I mean, that's, again, we, you know, we got to be led by the Holy Spirit. The devil, it can, you know, come as an angel of light, you know, and he don't come with pure out lies. You know, we're too smart for that. He comes subtle, you know. Might even come with the truth, you know. So he gets you. Then he can tell you lies, you know. So we got to watch. You know, we got to be like Pastor always says. I don't know how many times I heard him say this, but I'll say it this time. But, you know, people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. You know, it's, you know, that's why we always got to be in our word. We got to talk to the pastor. I don't know how many times I called him in this teaching. You know, you don't want, I have a fear. I don't want after the teaching, the pastor saying, "Hey, Fred, can I talk to you for a minute?" You know, if that happens, you done said something wrong. You know, you done, so I haven't been called in yet. Hey, you'll be getting phone calls from me, Pat. But, all right. When her owners realized that their hope for making money was gone, it's always down to the money, ain't it? They seized Paul and Silas and drug them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and throwing the city in an uproar." Everywhere Paul goes, there's an uproar. You know, so they're advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice because they're claiming Jesus Christ as king. You know, there was only one king in Rome, and that was Caesar. You know, so who's our king in our lives? God said, "Put me first." Whatever's first in your life is pretty much your God. You know, if you lust, if money is what you're going after, money is what you're going to get. You know, if God's what you're going after, then you're going to get God. But it says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Dang, the whole mob beat down. Nobody wants to get beat down, do they? But the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they were severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. Well, I heard about jail before. I heard people talk about it before. And when you go into the inner cell, you know, because there's a row of cells, I heard, but you know there's that always back cell. You know when you're in that, you probably ain't going to get out for a while because, you know, that's what they call the bullpen back there. Now, this is about the time that I might start to doubt myself. I might start to doubt, should I went into Asia? Maybe I should have went into Asia. Did I make a mistake? Did I hear from the Spirit? You know, I think I got dragged into the marketplace, stripped, you know, and beaten with rods. Where's God at? Why would he let this happen to me? You know, maybe I didn't listen to him. Maybe I'm just doing this on my own. You know, I'd ask Silas, "You're a prophet. Aren't you see this coming?" But just because things don't go the way we want, you know, it's not our plan. It's God's plan. You know, they didn't plan this, to go on this. They talked it out their mouth, but it was God to put it in their heart. So this is God's plan that we, when we do things. You know, my ministry, ain't your ministry. God's ministry. You know, you're just, what do you see? Like I said, you're just an overseer, deacon. And, joking, but you're, you know, that's God's ministry. He blessed you and put you there. He gave you an opportunity to serve him, you know. So that's what we got to, I said it before, my ministry, that's my ministry, it's God's ministry, not mine. You know, he just gave me an opportunity, to do what, to serve him, like I said. Now I'm going to do it the best I can. I mean, faithful with the small, he gives you more. But, back to, so Paul and Silas are locked up in jail. And, I've been locked up before in jail. And the last thing in my mind was to start singing some hymns to the Lord. I might have prayed, Lord, get me out of here. I'm innocent, But knowing flat out I was guilty, But, oh, man, I'm not even going to get halfway through this. But, it's, let me finish this. But at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to the Lord, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake that shook the foundation of the prison. At once all the doors flew open and everybody's chains were loosened. The jailer woke up, and then when he saw the doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are here." The jailer called for light, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and all your household." Then they spoke the words of the Lord to him and all others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household was baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had became a believer in God and his whole household. Lydia was saved because of God's gentle touch. The slave girl was set free because of the authority of Christ. The jailer was brought to his knees because of the power of Christ. All of them were touched by God in the same way, just as we were. We don't know how we came, a lot of us came to the Lord differently. Some of us seen things, some of us, he just touched our heart. That's what he did to me. It touched my heart, touched it up here. I'm crying in the pew, don't even know what I'm crying for. I'm sorry. Sorry for what? Everything. But it took me, 40 years to get to that place. I pray my kids don't wait that long. Because it's a lot of wasted time. I partied a lot. That means nothing. Made a lot of money. That means nothing. None of that means nothing. Ecclesiastes says it's meaningless. Without the Lord in your life. You couldn't tell me that then, I would have laughed at you. But now, people, that don't know, think I'm God, people. Yeah. Because I was on my way to hell. No doubt about it, I think that was better for me to know that than to me to think I was all right. You know, because the people think they're all right, and they're so hard to talk to. I'm a good person. Oh, are you? Read the Ten Commandments. See if you broke any. God said, break one of my laws, you broke them all. Oh, kind of tough, ain't he? Well, heaven's a nice place. We just don't let anybody in. I mean, come on. I mean, you can say, you can say God's unfair. You know, God. Well, no, he's not, because he gave you Jesus Christ. You know, and we can go back and forth with other religions and stuff like that. But you know, Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and the life. You know, and you know, I didn't make the rules. I was following them. You got a problem with it? Talk to the Lord. You know, I mean, you know, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. You know, but I didn't get through half of this stuff. But I mean, I'm over time.
That's all right. You'll be back another day.
I only had like 3 more pages left. I knew I wasn't gonna get through all this. But that's it. We're over time, and so. Samuel, I guess.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the word that you put on Fred's heart, Lord God. I pray that it just ministers to us this week, Lord, that we'll take it with us wherever we go, Lord God. And we pray right now that you just prepare our hearts for worship. Let us go and just worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.